will please come to order.
Welcome to the afternoon.
Saltzman, Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Hales. Fish.
Here. Okay, Carla, would you please read the first item?
Item 394, adopt new and amended supporting documents for an update of Portland's comprehensive plan. Accept report of the Citizen Involvement Committee.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to City Hall, and thank you for taking time to come and participate and to testify. We're going to begin today with a staff from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability walking us through what we're doing, what we're actually doing today, and what we hope to accomplish. Eric, would you please come forward? And before we start, I'd like to go over some logistics to ensure that the afternoon goes smoothly. First, Mayor Hales sends his regrets. He is in Europe on city business, and as the president of the council, I have the honor of presiding over this session. Second, we want to acknowledge receipt of an additional group of letters, emails, and comments that we've received from April 15th through today. And that all of that testimony that's been submitted will be part of the public record. We will also add any additional correspondence or written materials that arrives before the close of the hearing today, which we made part of the record. Now, to maximize the number of people speaking tonight, because we hope to be able to close the record today, we'll be limiting testimony to 2 minutes each. We really regret that we ran out of time last week before everyone had a chance to testify, so we'll be calling up the people that didn't testify last time first and then move on to new folks. Let me just make a couple observations. The first is, this is not a popularity contest. Actually, that's what it says in my script. The substance matters more, that is, the substance of your testimony matters more to us than the number of people who say it. So your testimony is really most effective if you avoid repeating what other people have said, but tell us something that maybe isn't part of the record that we need to know. Also, to whenever possible, please refer specifically to the amendment that you are testifying about. And there is a master list of amendments, which I think has been handed out. You could get a copy of. And if at all possible, refer to the amendment. And with one caveat, please do not assume that just because the printed amendment has one, two, or three co-sponsors, that actually means that those are the only people that may or may not be supporting the amendment. We have a different set of rules just to get the amendments on the table. And it may very well be that a couple of people have sponsored an amendment for discussion, and they may not end up supporting it after the testimony. So pay no attention to whether there's one, two, or three, four, or five people amending. That's a procedural issue that gets it before us, and the votes obviously will follow later. Again, we want to thank you for joining us. And before I introduce Eric, can you clarify for me? Actually, I'm going to introduce Eric Engstrom. But could you clarify if for some reason we are not able to conclude this hearing today, and we hope to go at least through 5:30 before we're going to lose a quorum, it will be continued until when?
I'll look to the council clerk to verify, but I believe we have in reserve the 27th at 2 p.m. in City Hall for if that is necessary.
If that's necessary. And just a little a warning. If you leave, assuming it's going to be held over, and we get through all the testimony, then we'll close the record. So I hate to impose on folks, but it's best to stay and try to testify, because if you're not here and we complete the testimony in the House, then we will be closing the record. So with that, I'm going to introduce Eric Engstrom and have him walk us through some other housekeeping matters. Eric?
Thank you, Commissioner. Once again, Eric Engstrom with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Tonight, we're getting feedbacks on the amendments to the PSC recommended comprehensive plan, which were published in the March 18th amendments report, as you noted. Commissioners have also published several additional memos with supplements to that report in the time since, which are all posted on the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's project website. Carla read the first item. There are two items as part of tonight's hearing. The first item is, as she mentioned, the supporting documents to the comp plan. Amendments related to that are on page 112 of the March 18th report, and we expect a smaller list of people testifying about that first item. The larger list of people are mostly here for the second item to talk about the new comprehensive plan itself, which includes the policies, land use maps, and list of projects. So we're, I believe we're hearing the item 394 first and then 395. This is the second of two hearings. We will, if the council finishes testimony tonight, we have April 28th and either May 5th or May 11th tentatively set up for decision-making on the amendments, where you all will come back and actually vote on the amendments. At the end of that process, you'll, we hope, arrive to an as-amended plan that we'll be ready to vote on. We will then go as staff and prepare the final substitute ordinance incorporating those amendments and the findings and bring that back to you in June. I believe the final vote is currently scheduled for June 15th, if that schedule sticks.
And Eric, because I'm gone the first week in May, I've asked that if there are amendments that are heavily contested on council, that those votes be postponed until the 11th.
Yes, I believe we were going to try and start with the less controversial amendments at the beginning and then work our way in toward the more difficult ones. I also want to note that as we approach the end of this process, staff is taking a moment to make sure we have the appropriate technical reports in the record, including data that supports the decisions we've made. And in particular, we have provided the council clerk with additional memos related to transportation modeling, metro functional plan compliance, and in many of our background documents, there are citations for other secondary reports, and we want to make sure all those secondary citations are also in the record. So we've provided both electronically and physically some supplemental material for the record that rounds out that information. And we'll be discussing that in the findings adoption when we file the substitute ordinance.
Thank you very much. How many people that are here today are here for the first time? Okay, so we have a lot of folks who've been here with us before. Let me just remind everybody that in order to get through this afternoon, we have over 100 people that signed up, so it's going to be a challenge to finish all the testimony today. We ask that you show your support or displeasure with your hands, not by applauding or disrupting the proceedings, and that'll keep us on track. And with that, it is the let me turn to my council colleagues to see if they have any comments. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, President Fish. I just had one quick comment for question for the record. We've received a lot of input in writing from residents of East Moreland asking to expand the proposed amendment of changing the R5 zoning to R7. If the council wanted to consider doing that, would we need to notify residents in a larger area of the potential downzoning per state law?
Staff has already notified the folks affected by the amendments that you've already put on the table, but if there was a substantial new amendment or an expansion of the territory of an amendment that affected a lot of people, we would want to do that notice, yes.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments from my colleagues?
I just have one quick comment. I had some conversations yesterday at the our Gay Neighborhood Association meeting, specifically with Valenka Spear and Doug Cook, regarding appropriate balance of apartments and single-family homes near Shava Elementary, and just wanted to put that into the record since it was at a different, it was not at a comprehensive plan meeting.
Eric, we have two matters this afternoon. So you want to have Carla read both, or how do you want to allocate the time?
I guess that's, we could start with the first one. There's a fairly short list, and then she can
read
the second one.
We have separate sign-up sheets right now.
Okay, so let's do the first one. And are the invited, the courtesy of the House that we extend to people who are elected or otherwise, is that for the first matter or the second matter?
It's mostly for the second, yeah.
Okay. Carla, how many people do we have signed up for the first?
Seven people.
Seven people?
Yes.
All right, let's call them up four at a time.
I don't think we have another chair.
All right, three at a time.
Okay. First three, please come on up. Are Abby Bandarago, Kirk Olson, and Bob Carroll. Please come on up. And the next three after them, in case you're upstairs, will be Bob Solinger, Brenda Barnes, and Dana Kraschek.
Welcome. So all we need is your name, and everyone will have 2 minutes to testify. Sir, why don't you kick us off?
My name's Kirk Olson. I'm with Trammell Crow Company. Trammell Crow is the region's largest developer of industrial real estate property, and we've been developing here in Portland since 1978. I am here to testify regarding the in support of the moderate growth for cargo in the Portland Harbor as originally recommended by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff. I was first exposed to the economic development, economic opportunity analysis as a member of the policy expert group way back in 2012 when we started our work with the comp plan. I'm very familiar with many of the inputs and drivers on our region's economy. Since then, I've participated in the regional industrial land readiness study as sponsored by PBA, Metro, and some others. Currently on BDS's Development Review Advisory Committee. The business in the harbor, they're all major employers, as you know, in the city, and their procurement of supplies, raw materials, capital goods, and services from local businesses is extremely meaningful to the neighborhoods and employees that work there. In order to more accurately reflect the activity and future development in the Portland Harbor, I urge you to support the amendment to change the harbor forecast in the EOA from a low growth to medium growth forecast. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, sir. Welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm Bob Carroll. I'm president of the Columbia Pacific Building Trades as well as a business rep with International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. I speak to you today also to recommend that you adopt a moderate growth amendment on the EOS for the harbor. The harbor is a major economic driver of this community, and when we get a shipping line back, it'll be even better. So I urge you to do that. In addition, I also urge, encourage the M33 amendment, which would redesignate the Broadmoor Golf Course as industrial land. This too will create jobs and encourage economic growth in the area. Thank you.
Thank you both. Carla, who'd we miss on that first one?
Abby Bandarago on Northeast Wisteria. I might have Abby here.
Well, we'll see. And who are
The next three are Bob Solinger, Brenda Barnes, and Dana Kraschek. And the last person on this list is Tamara DeRitter.
Welcome, Bob. Why don't you kick it off?
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society. I'm here to testify on the economic opportunities analysis, specifically the decision to upgrade from the low-range forecast to the medium-range forecast based on new capacity that was revealed by the Port of Portland really at the last minute, right before the final hearing of a multi-year process. We've looked at this issue over and over as part of city committees on West Hayden Island, on River Plan, through the comp plan process, and we are very concerned that this capacity wasn't revealed earlier on. Capacity is not something you discover at the last minute. It's not hiding behind a tree or behind a building. The port had to have known it was there. It's based upon development that we're glad they've done in order to create that increased capacity. We don't have an opinion on whether you should go with the medium or the low, but we do want to make sure that a few things are captured here. And that one is that the Port of Portland has said explicitly they do not need West Hayden Island in order to meet the mid-range forecast. And also that if for some reason we go back to the low-range forecast, West Hayden Island wasn't needed for that either. Because one of the things we're concerned about is when you make these kinds of major decisions on something like this that has gone through rigorous analysis, multiple committees, a lot of work, you come back at the last minute, you make these changes of these magnitudes, we're worried that the city may not have caught all of the little nuances that may come back and bite us later. Secondly, we hope the city will take a hard look at how it looks at industrial land because it really is one of the most difficult to discern processes. A lot of it is proprietary information done by consultants to go back and forth between industry and the city. A lot of it is really in a black box that the public can never see. And we've always been very skeptical of the way the city does its industrial land analysis. Too many times we've gone through this analysis and not picked up on this capacity that was revealed at the last minute. In fact, we've been told over and over again the capacity doesn't exist and we can't find it. So I think we need to look at why this only was discovered so late in the process. But the main thing we want to capture here is that regardless of which forecast you use, the port does not need West Hayden Island, and we want to capture that in the record.
My understanding was that the Bureau of Planning was going to come back with some language that would capture that in the policies of the comprehensive plan. Have you seen any draft language to make sure that it's clear that we're getting to the forecast without West Hayden Island?
I think it could be clearer. I think it could be more explicit in terms of how it's written up. I can work with Planning Bureau.
Yeah, I would appreciate it if you would. Colleagues, that's kind of a conceptual amendment that I was thinking might be right on the table. I'm not sure whether it's in all the materials we've got, but I want to make sure that the public has a chance to testify on it because, as you say, that is the clear understanding. If we do decide to go to the moderate,
great.
It might be a
Thank
condition
you.
Of approval. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Welcome.
Thank you, City Commissioners, for this opportunity to testify in front of you. My full name is Brenda Ann Barnes, and I'm a third-generation Oregonian. I speak to you from the heart. My company's name is George S. Bush & Company, Inc. It's located at 825 Northeast Multnomah Street, Suite 910, Portland. It's next to the Lloyd Center. I am here to testify for the support of the moderate growth harbor forecast originally recommended by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff. Our 50-person company is a freight forwarder and customs house brokerage, which means we act like a travel agent for international cargo in and out of the U.S. Currently, we are using the Port of Portland as much as we can, given the circumstances with labor and disputes thereof. We would like to be using it more. There are shipments that once used Portland that are moving via Seattle and Tacoma, but given the opportunity, they would return. Therefore, the medium cargo forecast is consistent with the data about cargo capacity created in the harbor from recent investments. It reflects actual activity, is consistent with other Portland and Metro forecasts, and sends an important message about the future of the Portland Harbor as a critical economic engine for the city of the state. I urge you, City Commissioners, to adopt the amendment to change the harbor forecast in the EOA from a low growth to a medium growth forecast. Thank you again, Commissioners, for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. Thank you for explaining how your business works. Now I think I finally understand it. That was very helpful. Dana, welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish and fellow Commissioners. The cargo forecast relates to demand. I'm here to talk to you about supply in this segment of the hearing.
Your name again.
Oh, Dana Krafcheck. Thank you. Supply relates to how much land do we have. For land that's developed, it's what kind of redevelopment opportunities do we envision. And state law, the administrative rules, are quite clear on that. In order to consider developed land, meaning land that's improved, available for redevelopment over your planning horizon, it has to be available. One way that land is not available is when the owner tells you, I'm not interested, I'm not redeveloping. Why do we care about that? This relates to Amendments 33 and 34, which are not specifically the topic of what I'm talking about. But with Riverside, who you're relying on for about 86 acres of land, they've said no way, no how over the planning horizon. On the other hand, you have Broadmoor, who I represent, who has said over the planning horizon, we'd be open to redevelopment. We don't have immediate plans, but if the opportunity presents itself, we would be interested in rezoning and developing our property. That is supportable under Goal 9 and its rules. The reverse, relying on Riverside and not Broadmoor, we don't think is supportable either from an evidentiary or legal basis under Goal 9.
Just a quick follow-up question. So if it turns out we had a surplus of available land, then would the better approach be to take them out altogether?
If you have a surplus, then it's less of an issue for you because you wouldn't have to be relying on that land to have an adequate supply.
Thank you very much. Carla, could you call the next?
Thank you.
Last person on the first item is Tamara DeRitter.
There she is. Last but not least.
I'm a Dana now. Hi, Tamara DeRitter with Rose City Park Neighborhood Association. And I have two items. First, on behalf of the neighborhood, I recommend the board
for Rose City Park recommends that a TSP Blue Ribbon Committee be formed to vet the plan and the TSP implementation assumptions that it is to reduce single occupancy vehicle to 25% of all trips by 2045. The reasoning behind this is the language both in the background document and in the plan depend heavily on what's considered to be transportation demand management, TDM. TDM, if you have done your research, which most of us have not, does work. It works in places like downtown Seattle, but it does not work in the broad spectrum that is being implemented throughout the entire city. So I urge you to look at alternatives, because we are facing major issues when we're talking to people in the campus institutional zone. All the lawyers at that table, when this was rolled out for them, were concerned that there are not any tangible measurements by which they can say that they've complied. This program does not have tangible measurements in it. And so I urge you to consider a Blue Ribbon Committee that would look at the implementation criteria that is being so waited upon in the comprehensive plan. And I want this plan to succeed. But if we don't have this information down right, then we're all pay with increased traffic flow. Okay. The second item is I know that we've had air quality problems, and I've testified before the Planning and Sustainability Commission back in 2009 with the Portland plan that the air quality standards in the Oregon transportation, Oregon land use plans do not protect land use. We defer everything in land use that is Goal 6 to DEQ. And by the letter of the law, we're meeting the standard because we may have to do implementation. But currently, there is not mitigation as they had promised at the commission level. And I'm speaking now as a planner. They had I had spoken to them as a representative of Rose City Park. But as a planner, I request that mitigation be considered to protect residences and schools from poor air quality. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else want to be heard on item 394? Okay, so we're going to close the hearing on 394, and we're going to keep the record open through the close of business today if anyone still wants to get documents in. Is that right, Eric? Excuse me. We'll keep the record open through Friday at 5 p.m. It can be filed electronically or paper copy. So we'll close 394. Carla, would you please?